It's really a very special honor for my wife Mackie and me to be here with you. Some 15,833 days have passed since my fellow charter classmates, your marshals, and I sat in your chairs. So it's just a little surreal for me to be here talking to you today. You're the graduates, and so that means everybody out there thinks you know just about everything about just about everything. And ironically, I'm supposed to say something novel and inspiring to you. Well, this may be a fool's errand, but anyway, here's my best offer. Number one, if you want to get them back in one piece, don't hold your Oreos under the milk until the bubbles stop. Number two, always drink upstream from the buffalo herd. And as doctors, you probably already know this, but never, under any circumstances, take a sleeping pill and a laxative at the same night. Now, I probably need to stop right there, but I've been given the thankless task of delaying your diplomas by another 10 minutes, so bear with me. Very soon, you're going to walk across this stage, maybe even dance across this stage, get hooded, whatever hooded means. You'll shake the hands of some people whose names you probably won't remember in 15,800 days. And finally, you'll get your diplomas. You certainly won't look any different, and you probably won't act any different, but I'm hoping you will be different. I'm hoping you will have crossed the Rubicon. Now, the phrase crossing the Rubicon means going past the point of no return, disrupting the status quo, inciting an insurrection, marching irrevocably into an uncertain and insecure future. After today, you can no longer say to a patient, "Oh, I'm just the medical student. I'll have to ask your real doctor." You are the real doctor. You've crossed the Rubicon. And I'm hoping that you feel a really good measure of the insecurity and uncertainty that goes with crossing the Rubicon. Now, some of you are probably thinking, what's the deal with this guy? You know, he's hoping we feel uncertain and insecure. It's graduation day. Why is he spoiling the party? Why is he putting a roach in the punch bowl? But the fact of the matter is that some degree of uncertainty is a necessary and positive core characteristic of a really good physician. In contrast, overconfidence and contentment with the status quo are among our most dangerous and malignant tendencies. So let me ask you, is the status quo acceptable if we still don't have an effective way to deal with the obesity problem? Is the status quo acceptable if we still don't know squat about the causes of autism? Is it acceptable that the rate of infant mortality in this country is 29th in the world, tied with Poland? Is the status quo acceptable if healthcare costs are rising at twice the rate of inflation, and we still get paid whether we do a good job or a lousy job? I don't think the status quo in medicine is okay, and we need an insurrection. We need an insurrection led by those who've crossed the Rubicon, those who just can't stand the stuff that I just mentioned. So I have three ideas for you about becoming a part of the insurrection. Oh, at least over the short run, say the next 15,800 days of your practice. First, don't contract destination disease. Second, never step in the same hole twice. And third, swear off shortcuts. Number one, don't succumb to destination disease. Destination disease is a noxious byproduct of success. The key symptom of destination disease is a lack of inquisitiveness. Having succeeded in achieving some big goal, like graduating from medical school, you've made it. You've done all the tough stuff. Maybe it's time to coast a little bit. But those joining the insurrection have to avoid destination disease. And that requires overcoming today's successes, trading in your pride. It means being willing to disrupt the status quo. It means cultivating a healthy respect for the uncertainty of not knowing what you don't know. The day we feel certain and secure, when we stop questioning ourselves, that's the day we are afflicted with destination disease, and that's the day we ought to forfeit our medical degrees. I like the irreverent way Ray Kroc put it. As long as you're green, you're growing. As soon as you're ripe, you start to rot. We cannot rot from destination disease. Now, my second thought for this insurrection is never step in the same hole twice. Believe it or not, you are going to make a mistake somewhere along the way. But being wrong is just never a problem. It's just an event. It's not a person. Being wrong points the way forward. There's no shame in being wrong. The only real shame is not being open to the possibility of being wrong. Importantly, we are most likely to get it wrong whenever we feel most certain and most secure. But in reality, that's exactly when we're most dangerous and about to find ourselves in a deep hole. Safety and quality experts with the airline industries, nuclear power plants, and hospitals put it this way. Those who are not trained to look for mistakes and ways to avoid them are the most dangerous people in the room. We must not be the most dangerous people in the room. Now, sometimes the holes that we step in are obvious, like when we miss a diagnosis, when we prescribe an ineffective therapy, or when we choose to treat a condition that really shouldn't be treated at all, and that leads to an unwarranted complication. But sometimes the holes we step in are not so obvious, like when we fail to compare the outcomes of our practices with published best practices. If we neglect to find out how many of our patients are not being offered the influenza vaccine each year and fix that, that's a problem. Or if we don't examine how many patients in our practice with diabetes are actually getting their hemoglobin A1Cs tested biannually and fix that, that's a problem. Fail to acknowledge our mistake with a patient, or fail to implement quality improvement methods in our practices, and sooner or later, we find ourselves in a deep hole. If that happens, remember the first rule of holes. When you're in one, stop digging. The second rule of holes is, always, always remember what you learned when you were down there. If you don't, you're going to step in it again. Now, I want to emphasize here that there's a humongous difference between making a mistake and being uncertain. When you're wrong, acknowledge the mistake openly and honestly, and look for ways to make it right. But when you're uncertain, take heart. Uncertainty is a powerful incentive. Keeps you on your toes. You seek out a colleague's advice. You search out the best answer from the literature. Yogi Berra said it best, it's not what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's the things you know for sure that just ain't so. My third thought for the insurrection is swear off shortcuts. Swearing off shortcuts is not just about avoiding mistakes. Here I'm not talking about getting it right. I'm talking about doing right. I'm doing right means trying your best to learn what matters most to your patient. Now, I'm pretty sure you've all seen how easy it is to take the shortcut of just explaining the pros and cons of option A or option B and then expecting the patient to decide. But doing right means you take the time to find out what your patient understands about their condition, and finding out what's most important to them. Does he want to maximize comfort and minimize his pain? Or does he want to stay as lucid and independent as possible, even at the expense of some comfort and some personal safety? Does she want to maximize the amount of time she may have left, no matter what discomfort has to be endured? Or does she want us to do just what's necessary to enable her to attend her first granddaughter's medical school graduation, even if that means the end may be sooner? Doing right for your patients will often be very difficult personally for you. In fact, I hope you'll come to appreciate that doing right is a lot more challenging than being right. Doing right usually requires us to give up something, like a bit more of our time, or dropping our professional guard, or risking the emotional discomfort of empathizing. And that's what I mean about swearing off shortcuts. Now, I know all of this will be hard, avoiding destination disease, trading in your pride, not stepping in the same hole twice, swearing off shortcuts. But while paying attention to all of this, you must not allow yourself to get discouraged by all the negative noise about our profession coming from the pundits and cynics. Some of our colleagues, even a few younger than me, say medicine has changed so much for the worse that they can no longer recommend it in good conscience. Well, the cynics are dead wrong. You have made the right choice, and you must not let them hijack your optimism. Have no doubt, today's litigious climate and the emphasis on the economics of managed care, Medicare, Obamacare, Obamacare, or Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care, all of this will surely pass. Medicine is still the most gratifying of the caring professions. We're given the opportunity to solve important problems. We get to teach and learn from each other. And in medicine, we're granted the sacred trust and special privilege of caring for people. Parenthetically, unlike your former student days, and now that you've crossed the Rubicon, you might even get paid for performing these interesting tasks. So welcome across the Rubicon. Join the insurrection and disrupt the status quo. Embrace uncertainty. Be curious, inquisitive, and even skeptical at times. Be especially skeptical of your own practice patterns and your own practice systems. Remember, it's inevitable that some of today's miracles will turn out to be tomorrow's mistakes. Some of today's gold standards will be tomorrow's snake oil. And I want to close now with just one other of my favorite quotes, this one from Hall of Fame basketball coach John Wooden, who said, "It's what you learn after you know it all that counts." And we're all counting on you to make your next 15,800 days really count. Congratulations to each of you, and thank you.